Looking back, and for students to hear you reflect, when your father called you back in 1971, did you have lofty goals for the company at that time?
That always tickles me when someone says, when you founded the company, what was your vision? No, in all honesty, we had no vision at all other than how to survive for the next year, how to meet payroll. There was no grand goal at the time, particularly during the 70s. It was merely looking at the opportunities that we had to move the ball a little bit forward. By the time we went public in 1988, then we really were beginning to think of more of a long-term vision. As I said earlier, where you looked at the need to consolidate the morass of 400 publicly traded companies into larger companies, our vision was, and it's proven to be true, that there would be a handful of companies that would emerge that would be large by the standards of the day, that would be very efficient, very well run, very well capitalized, and would really move oil and gas development in North America forward. And we thought we could play a role in doing that since we had acquisition experience and drilling experience. We had more of a coherent vision by the time we got to 1988 and went public that's proven pretty much on target. But in the early days in 71 and 72, it's where can we find another deal to stay alive?
When you made some of these acquisitions, you must have done some early on with trepidation. Did you ever have sleepless nights?
No. Particularly in the early days when we sort of lived on the edge of going broke, I didn't view it as a long-term career for sure. I always thought, well, if this doesn't work, I'll go back and do what I plan to do, practice law. That faded away at some time during the 70s, but you know, when you're in your 30s, you're fearless.
Right. Did you ever make some bad deals?
A couple of small ones, but we did those when we were private, and I'm not going to tell you about those. And they weren't really bad. There were ones that just didn't make much money. There were ones that you just assumed you didn't do, but we didn't do any that crushed the company.
Was your father your major mentor or example, or are there other names that you looked up to?
My father, by far and away, was my mentor.
Any historical figure that influenced you as you read about their lives?
Well, I learned a lot from Bill Rehnquist and Earl Warren, but my father was my mentor.
25 years from now, you'll be 95. Think of that.
Good grief. Better take care of myself.
And maybe we've answered this question already. Will we still be dependent on foreign oil? When you're 95, natural gas will be used more by consumers. We kind of been over that already, but...
Yeah, I think looking forward, natural gas will play a much larger role. Will we be energy independent? Probably not, but that's a hard thing to say for sure.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to stake my life on that premise.
Your father's best advice to you?
I don't remember any pithy sentences or anything, but it's more of an attitude of be honest with yourself about what you can do and what you can't do. Be honest in your dealing with others and insist that others be honest among themselves and with you. You know, just a high level of integrity. Don't let other people run over you, but just because you have the economic power, don't run over them.
Good advice for students who will be listening to this. Well, what a life.
Well, it's not over.
No, it isn't. And what do you plan to do in the next 10, 15 years?
Well, there's so many opportunities out there. Even though I have turned over and continuing to turn over the day-to-day operations of Devon, the opportunities to help a city, help a community, help universities are endless. It's hard to predict the future, what your own health and energy level will be. Most of my relatives will live well until their 90s, so I plan to give it a go for a while.
Over these years, you had to get away from the business. Did you have hobbies? Did you have something that you just went to?
I love travel. I gave up golf a long time ago because it takes too much time. I really enjoy business. You sometimes hear someone who says, in 3 years and 9 months, I'm going to retire. And I'm eagerly looking forward to it. I just feel sorry for someone like that who doesn't enjoy what they do. If I had any advice for students, it would be find what you enjoy doing. And if you don't enjoy your current job, figure out why. Maybe it's inside you. Maybe you're doing the wrong job, but go do what you want to do. You owe it to yourself.
Yeah.
And I've been blessed to be doing exactly what I enjoy doing.
So we can trace it all back to your father, who was insistent. If he hadn't been insistent about this, you might have been practicing law.
And my mother, of course, deserves credit for instilling in me a desire to work hard. She's a real taskmaster in high school. Did not tolerate low grades and cracked the whip, and that sort of self-discipline she instilled.
So then your advice to students, whether they're interested in your business or anything else, they're looking to the future?
Find what you enjoy doing. Surely there's something that everybody enjoys doing.
And you know what you just said, I asked that question of everybody. It's always down to enjoyment. If you like it, it'll not be a job.
Right. And someone who's counting the hours and minutes until they can retire has a job.
Right.
And I really feel sorry that maybe there wasn't anything that they could go enjoy doing. Maybe there was and they didn't go look for it. But there's got to be something you enjoy doing.
This is interesting. You know, some find careers and then others don't. They really just find jobs.
Mm-hmm.
Those who find careers are very fortunate. They have a passion for it.
Right.
And there are those who just don't find that passion, and it just is a job.
Yep.
So thank you very much. I appreciate you doing this for Voices of Oklahoma.
Well, I thank you, and take care.